What makes you so special?
Really?
What about your business and your market to your audience makes you so special? If I were to show up in your city, your town, your marketplace right now and ask people, hey, what makes her, what makes him, and gave them your name so special, what would they say? Or is that not how your business runs? Are you doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a whole bunch of this and a tiny bit of that, and you're sort of a jack of all trades. You're a generalist. Well, maybe there's a better way for you. This is Commission, the podcast where successful real estate agents and team leaders go from chaos to wealth, freedom, and impact. And I'm Todd Tremonti, broker, team leader, owner, coach, writer, radio guy. Do all sorts of stuff here in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. And today's episode is actually a live-to-tape recording. No editing other than the, you know, chop off the intro and the outro from a live event that we host every year called Real Growth Summit. It's a two-day real estate conference for agents, team leaders, and brokers that want to grow. And this is a keynote that I did to open the event up, really borderline begging our live attendees, in-person attendees, and now you, to think critically about specializing, about being an expert in one thing, being known for that thing, being celebrated and repeated in business with and referred and earning media with, being world-class at something. Now, enjoy the episode. We're going to get into some of the specifics of what that looks like to choose and why you would, and some of the fears and the reasons some people don't and the benefits of it. But I want you to take notes. I want you to lean in and know that, yes, this is a recording of a live event. So there may be one or two little things that are slight variations, but you could pause this and you could fully take advantage of this, this show, this episode, to grow your business while working less to greater heights, greater freedom, greater income, and greater impact. Check it out.
Hello, hello. Are we good? All right. Hey, we just found out. Listen, let's start the morning right. The Wi-Fi is down. So we'll get that cranking back here in a minute. It's not just you. It's all of us. It's not working. So that means we crashed it. Well done, everybody. Way to show up, ready to rock, and just, you know, eat up the Wi-Fi. What? We're back. Okay, we're back. I'm really glad we got to do that, Ian. Thanks for helping out. All right. Thank you, Grady, for getting us rolling. There are a few things I want to clarify. And those of you that have been with us 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times now know that we always want to make sure that if you leave here and you have a complaint, it's likely to be that was a lot. We can live with that one. Okay? So if you've been around for a while, the event has evolved over 7 years. Real Geeks has been here with us the entire time. Several of our coaching members and friends have been here with us the whole time. We've had several speakers that have spoken many times over those years because this is an unusual group. It is an atypical group of people that are freakishly generous with what's working in our businesses. So I'm going to encourage you right now to not be that girl or that guy that's here to receive and not to also give and share. So really quickly, I'm going to ask you to give and share in a atypical, unfortunate way, which is if there's an empty seat next to you, if you would either squeeze into the middle or just kind of let people know that that's a spot that can be filled if you see people looking for a spot. So anybody in the back that wants to sit, come fill one of those spots. If you're kind of in and out sponsor, that's totally okay too. But we have a few seats left. We had deliberately capped the event at 100 people this year. Those of you that have been in the past, we've had 220-something in years past. And we just decided this year that what we really wanted to do was have 100 really engaged, ready to grow, ready to give, ready to get, ready to be all in people. And we had our sponsors help us find those people. We had Real Geeks say, these are the users that are all in, that really, really want to be there. We had Alamo Title do that. We had TexInspect do that. We had a bunch of our other partners fully engaged in going, who needs to be in this room? Who's getting after it? Who's full-time, all in, fully committed to growing? And if you've been around me for very long, you know the next two words, growing in income and impact. You can make all the money in the world and be miserable. Anybody know anybody that's ever done that? Just had tons of money and no joy whatsoever. I'd probably rather be really joyful and broke, but you know, both is great. So that's what we're aiming for around here, right? We want to grow in income and impact. So I believe, based on everybody I've met so far, that we've got the right people in the room. So I'm encouraging you and inviting you to be all in with us for the next 2 days. If we have a first session in the morning, be here early. Tonight we have a bonus session in the evening. I hope every single one of you are there. Nobody will have to get on stage, by the way, for laser coaching. Really, you can come down to a mic, ask your question, sit down, and I will do my very best to give you as much value as I would give a private coaching client in the moment. And if somebody else in the room would be a help me do that, I'll do my best to call on them and say, hey, Rich, you've done this. Can you speak into this really quick? Let's help her out. And that's how laser coaching will go. So be here early, stay late, take notes. Who has ever told yourself, I'll remember that, and then you didn't? Anyone? No one? Everyone is the correct answer. So don't do that. Write notes. If you're a type notes kind of person, type them. Research says that kinesthetic connection from your brain to your hand to the paper will serve you really well and you'll retain more. But if you're a typer, you're paperless, Matt, then that's fine. But take notes. And then when you get home, let's all do ourselves a favor and guarantee that you are not going to find your 2025 RGS notes in a drawer in 2027. Has anybody ever done that? Right? So don't do that. Right now, we've been really leaning into our coaching group and our mastermind lately on preparation. Actually, we had a strategy call this week about it. If you have a 60-minute meeting, that's 90 minutes of commitment. 15 minutes to prep, 60 minutes to get after it, and then 15 minutes to plan the implementation. You don't always have to do it right away, but to plan it, to put some stuff on the schedule. So hopefully you have a half a day or some travel time, or when you get back after this, some time blocked out so that you can implement, you can prioritize what it is that you want to do from this event to grow your income and your impact in the future. It's not their fault, it's my fault. They told me not to walk in front of the camera on that side, so we'll figure it out. We'll blame the Wi-Fi. You guys want to blame? Well, it's the Wi-Fi. All right, so my hope is that you're all in with us. And then I do want to remind you, if you haven't been around Compassion International, they go to the darkest places on the earth where children are not fed and they are not educated and they are not cared for and they are not protected from the elements, and they go and do that. So I'm asking you unapologetically to wildly overspend on raffle tickets. If you don't want the basket of booze, that's okay. We'll give it to somebody else. I know some people over here that would take it. But go buy some raffle tickets, win something, throw your hands up in the air, get excited, and know that what you're really doing is feeding and caring for children in need across the globe. And then hang out with our other sponsors. We don't invite any sponsors here that don't help you grow your business. There's nobody out there that we're going, thanks for a check. Actually, don't even ask for that much to be a sponsor here. We just want great people in the room that can and will help you build your business. So if there's somebody out there you've never met or you don't know who they are or what they do, actually go seek them out. That's what wise business owners do. They're constantly looking for great resources. What could help us be more efficient? What could help us be more profitable? What could help us be more impactful? What could help us focus on the right things and not waste time on the wrong things? So please do that. And then, of course, a massive thank you to Real Geeks, who's been with us since day one every year for 7 years. I'll interview Kevin McCarthy later this afternoon. How many CEOs do you know that will show up and hang out at the cocktail party the night before and for 2 full days and be interviewed every single year? I won't say without preparation, but with minimal preparation, meaning he's open to answering whatever question I've got. And y'all saw the slide. You have a chance to send your question in, and I will ask Kevin that question. As long as there's no profanity, Susie, you be nice. Or you're not just being a dirtbag. Rule number one, don't be a dirtbag. Everybody should know that one. But regs@toddtremonti.com is the email. You can email us right now a question, and we'll ask Kevin some of those questions. And by the way, if you got questions about AI, buckle up, because we're going to get into AI. And by that, I'm just going to ask him as many questions as he's willing to answer as fast as possible so we can get as much out of Kevin as we can, the guy who built Real Geeks. So if you're a user, you want to be all in on that. You want to be all in, spending time out at that booth, figuring out how can you maximize your use of RealGeeks. If you're not a RealGeeks user and you don't have a CRM you love, you want to check in with them on that as well. Now, I've got a bunch that I want to dive into this morning. But are we good on where we're headed over the next couple of days? Everybody feel good? Everybody feel like we're willing to get close to a neighbor and fill the spots in? Instead of having a really big wide room where everybody had extra space this year, we wanted to get, tighten it up, get to know each other, and really, really grow our businesses. So let's do that. I'm really fired up about it. It's game time. So before we go too far, I do want to talk about our theme a little bit. Why did we choose special agent? Number one, I have been saying for at least 3 years that I think your best offense and your best defense to have the real estate business of 2035, right? To still be here in a decade, to be profitable and impactful and still have any interest whatsoever in being in residential real estate a decade from now, you probably need to make some changes. Who's been doing this for more than 10 years already? Let me know. Okay, now keep your hands up. If you've been doing this for 10 years or more, keep your hand up. Take it down if you haven't noticed any changes over those 10 years. Okay. Take it down if the changes over the decade you've been doing this have been minimal. Take it down if you have never had the following thought. Holy crap, what's going on? Okay, is everybody paying attention? Don't look at me, look around. You'll learn more looking at these hands. No one put their hand down. Y'all can put your hand down now. If you've been doing this for a decade or more, it's like you're riding the ride at the carnival and you feel drunk, but you didn't drink. Like, what? How did I get here? Does anyone think the next 10 years will be less erratic? So you better buckle up. You better figure out who you are, who you serve, and what the heck it is you do around here. What would you say you do here? Okay? Thank you. Appreciate you catching a good movie quote. So we're going to talk about specializing for the next 2 days straight. You don't have to agree with me. I think you should. But the goal is that when you leave here, you have a plan. At bare minimum, an outline of a plan for how to specialize in what you should specialize in and be utterly untouchable by your so-called competition. And so to do that, I want to start with an illustration from where else but military history. Anybody like military history in here? Anybody like the incredible, like epic battle scene movies that I could watch over and over and over, Gladiator, Patriot, that type of stuff? All right, we're going to go to the Hundred Years' War. Does anybody know who the Hundred Years' War was between? I asked my kids this last night. One of them got it. France and England. Well done. You were awarded no points, but the glory of being right. As a matter of fact, 1 million points. Those are redeemable for nothing. But feels good, doesn't it, to be right? Okay, England and France. They're basically battling for a little over 100 years. Okay, and we could get into the history, and if you're French or English, just know I'm not picking sides, it's already over. But major differences in how they did battle. France at the time, the much larger, much better resourced, much more numerous, much healthier, much better provided for military, is up against England. By the way, this is in the 1300s and the 1400s. Kind of early to mid 1300s to the mid 1400s. A little over 100 years. France should win. France has the healthier military, the more well cared for, more weaponry, more people, more everything, really, that you would think you want and need to win the battle. But we all know where the story's going, right? They continually lose to the English for a long period of time. Not ultimately, but for a long period of time, they continually lose to the English military. Why? Why would that happen? Part of it is they didn't change, for sure. The other part, and I'll go to some slides here. By the way, if you've ever been around me in a teaching or coaching environment, I hate slides. I do the slides for those of you that will fall asleep or get on your iPhone. So please stay with me, right? But 100 Years' War, okay? The French had the heavier weapons, more horses, not just more men. They had the artillery, all of it, okay? Every advantage you'd expect, yet they kept losing over and over and over, right? They used what's called a crossbow. Anybody know what a crossbow is? It's kind of a point and shoot archery deal, right? You can give a soldier a crossbow and they'll know how to use it in like 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, I just load it pretty simply, aim it, point and shoot. It's a short range weapon, but when you have like 3 or 4 times as many soldiers, and sadly, if you don't value the lives of your infantry as much, you just send them out there and tell them to get her done, right? And you should win in that scenario, unless your opponent specializes. And if your opponent has been learning the English longbow since they were 3 or 4 years old and had pretty much dedicated their life to mastering one weapon, and they show up with 1/4 of the soldiers as you, and they engage you before your weapon is in range, before you're close enough to even use your weapon, then you lose. And you lose again and again and again. And you take massive casualties. And the longbowman is never even threatened, because the crossbow, no matter how many people have them, can't get close enough to do damage. So the longbow takes years to master. It's a precise weapon. It's absolutely devastating. And it is what people would call the artistry of war. The longbow is a more costly weapon. It's a more dangerous weapon. It's harder to use. But in the ugliness of war, it is a beautiful thing in that you can stay safe. The English repeatedly, by the way, found the high ground, lured the French into a poorer position, and took out thousands and thousands of soldiers without ever even being fully engaged in war. So why am I telling you this? It's pretty obvious, right? Everybody's seeing where we're going here. Should I just get off the stage and we talk it out? If you had said yes, that would have hurt. It would have hurt on the inside. I would have stood firm, but it would have. Okay, so let's get into why we care, because this is not a war story. It's an illustration of business. And I'll just ask you, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer out loud. You don't even have to write this one down, but you might want to. After hearing that and thinking for just a second, how many of you are approaching your real estate business as if you have a crossbow? Sheer force. Just more numbers. More leads. More calls. More agents. Just keep showing up. Just keep throwing punches. Outlast them. It's going to suck a lot of the time, but just keep going. Anybody feel that? I can go 2 hands up. I've been there for long stretches of the business. You will not outwork me. I will show up one day longer than all of you. That's my attitude, is what I'm saying. I'm not speaking to you. Although, yeah, maybe Laura would outlast me. I don't know. Anybody? You don't have to answer publicly, but just think about this. Does that feel awkwardly familiar to some of us? I've been the crossbow business. I've just been sheer numbers, sheer grit, sheer force. Anybody that's feeling that way ever been a little burnt out? A little bit tired of it? Like, could you have said to yourself at any point in your career, I know how to win, I just don't even know if I want to anymore. I don't know if I want to put in what I know I have to put in. I know I can choose my income. Because if I do that enough times, I can get enough of those. And if I get enough of those, I can get enough of that. And I'll have that, but I won't have any time to enjoy it. Maybe you've been running a crossbow business. Maybe it's time to look into being a longbowman or a longbow woman. They didn't have many of those back then, but you can do that. Okay, so most of us have been running crossbow businesses. Most of the coaches, most of the executives, most of the brokerages, most of the big brands are advertising crossbow businesses. I'm not going to point out any person or any brand, but you've seen the ads and you've seen the billboards and you've heard the recruiting pitch. Most of our industry is a crossbow industry. We have more agents We have more leads. Those things are not bad. But if the motivation and the attitude behind that is we'll overcome it with sheer force, my mantra is I want to build a business that supports the life I want to live. I don't want to live that life. I know it can work. And in moments of desperation, I'm willing to do it. But who wants the crossbow burnout business? Nobody. Who wants to master something and win before any so-called competition even knows the fight is on? That's what I'm talking about. The income and the impact. By the way, I know we have mortgage lenders in here. We have technology businesses in here. We have direct marketing businesses in here. This principle is not just for residential real estate. Take any industry in the world. You want to just be a sheer volume business? It can work, but it takes unreal amounts of logistics. Who wants to try to run the operation behind Walmart? Pass. Has anybody ever bought a watch at Walmart? I did once. It's a story for another time. It was just a little digital prayer reminder. It was not for quality. But I would rather own and run Rolex than Walmart. They both sell watches. One is just a brute force volume business. By the way, it's a freakishly profitable, massive business. I'm not knocking them, but that's not the lifestyle that I want. I'd rather have a Rolex business. I don't even care about wearing a Rolex, but the business where they're in demand, there's a waiting list, they sell at a premium, people are proud to own one, they tell their friends, and they do all the marketing and sales for me. Specialized, dedicated, not really competing in the same way that most businesses are. Okay, so how do we take this and apply it to our business? I've separated this into a few parts. I'm gonna cruise through this, but we can take our time, we're not in a huge hurry. My goal is to set the tone for the next 2 days. For you to be able to know going out of here, do you want the crossbow business or do you want a longbow business? You can give a crossbow to anybody, but if you wanna master the longbow, you need to think strategically, you need to plan ahead, you need to work on your business and not just in it. You need to win the game of strategy and not just effort. Do we want to go in that direction together the next 2 days? Okay, let's do it. Okay, the lie of being a generalist. Why it can sound attractive to go be a crossbow business, but it's not what we really want. Who's ever felt like, if I were to say, I do this, nobody would come to me for that? I felt that. Yeah, that's a rational, logical fear. But how many of you have experienced that when you do truly specialize, you will draw in way more than when you were generalizing? Okay, my experience would say, if I said to you, we specialize in small acreage properties in DFW, primarily these 15 communities on the outer lying edges of DFW, and we help people understand the uniqueness of those homes, wells, access, fencing, what you can grow, neighbors' rights, power, and that's very different than your traditional neighborhood real estate. That's what we specialize in. Now, if I said that to you at a Christmas party, how soon do you think you would forget it? If 2 years later, you're at someone else's Christmas party and somebody's like, we're actually thinking about buying a house on a couple of acres like out on the edge, but we don't really know anybody that does that. Do you think it's possible that my name would come to mind? Or at least a face and the friend that connected us, something like that. Yeah? But if I said, hey, my name's Todd, I'd love to give you my business card if you know anybody that's buying or selling. 2 years later at another party, do you think they're going to remember me? Do you think I might have blended in with the other 11,000 real estate agents they know? Yeah. By the way, has anybody ever done the quick math on the number of total working American adults and the number of members of NAR? We'll move on. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do that much math. Okay. Fear of missing out is real, but I hope that over the next 2 days, everyone will leave fully convinced that you don't need to live in that fear. I can specialize in small acreage properties and still get calls for neighborhood properties. And still get a call, especially if I'm the most expert-oriented, authoritative real estate professional they have in their world, which is what I think you want to be, what I would love to help you become. They're going to call you about commercial, industrial, condo, raw land, no matter what. Hey, I know you do acreage, but could you also help with this? does that feel more likely than the alternative or less likely than, hey, I do anything for anyone, and them thinking you're an expert? Probably not. Okay, so fear of missing out. Insecurity about not being the expert yet. Does anybody out of real integrity say, I'd love to say I specialize in something, but I don't know that I do yet. I don't know that I'm world class at that yet. That's a very high integrity problem. Does anybody think if you really committed, you could be more informed on that than 99% of the real estate agents in your industry by like 2:30 p.m. today? Part of that is a statement on all the other agents. But if you really committed in 2025, the United States, do you feel like you could be an expert pretty quick in something if you just decided and committed? I do too. And again, I'd be happy to help resource you in doing that. And then finally, just the pressure. Sometimes you're at a brokerage and your broker doesn't like the sound of that. And they want to dictate a little bit to you of what you can do. Or a team leader, or a spouse, or a friend, or some story in your past. I've been there. I owned a flat fee real estate franchise for 5 years. We all have a history, John. Yep. Every time I've ever said that and he's been there, he's like, oh gosh, don't do it. Don't point me out. He did it too. We both owned them. Different ones in different markets. Okay. What might it actually cost you to be a special agent, to be specialized? Anybody know, have a friend or family member that's a police officer? Right? And I would imagine, I'm not going to ask, but I would imagine you have great respect for them and that they're not getting paid millions of dollars a year, but they are putting themselves in harm's way and in the danger and the frustration of that job and all that comes with it. But if you had a friend that like worked for the NSA, regardless of your opinion of those agencies, would you think of them a little differently than your friend who's a street cop in your local town? What would be some of the differences in how you would think of them? More qualified? Maybe more capable? Not more valuable as a human being, but they probably have some better training, probably have some different abilities, different access to information, things like that, right? So when we think about being a special agent and we apply it to real estate and we look at these slides, what might it actually cost you to do that? If you're a generalist, has anybody felt like you've ever wasted time on some clients that weren't a perfect fit for you? Anyone ever? Yeah, more than once? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is that was a great time and 1 was I'd rather punch myself in the face. Don't answer. Don't do that. All right. It costs you the chase. How many of you feel like for however many years you've been doing this, most of the time you've just been chasing? Chasing a lead. Chasing the next deal. Chasing agents. Chasing a callback. Chasing an amendment. Chasing that next opportunity. Chasing a commission check. But you've never really built the consistent, predictable, repeatable, sleep well at night knowing what's coming next business. That's what it's costing you to remain a generalist, to remain a normal agent. Also, we talked already about burnout, low profitability, high stress. Has anybody ever felt like, although you are the professional, you work for your worst clients? They dictate when you work, where you work, no matter if it's your child's recital, your family vacation, that one day you were actually going to take off, that they're in charge. That's what being a generalist is costing. We've got real examples all over the room, and I actually surveyed my team and some of our coaching clients. But I don't think after the nodding and hands that have come up, I need to do a ton of convincing. But I've got probably 50 examples of different agents I could name by name, and including myself, that at some point in their job was like, I will go anywhere for any deal. And those of you that know me know that there was a period where I would go anywhere in a little vinyl-wrapped Scion, like the shoebox on wheels and a yellow cartoon wrap John saw it. It's disgusting. I'm not proud of it. Don't mock me. I was willing to work, though. I'll tell you what. I came home every day exhausted and broke, and my wife was not upset about the fact that I wouldn't work. She was just upset that my work wasn't really working. And on top of that, the humiliating clown car doesn't make it better either. I did youth ministry in Highland Park in Dallas. Y'all, this is not part of this talk, but it's funny. That's like one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in America, right? And I was a student minister at the high school there. And I would go hang out with these kids and go to their football games and baseball games. And I had been hanging out with this kid for a while. And his dad owned this like $300 million company. And he came up to me one time. He's the nicest, most generous guy maybe I've ever met in my life. And he's like, Todd, man, I really love that you're hanging out over here, but would you park in the back? I was like, come on, man. I'm trying to build a business here. He was like, yeah, but you're a crossbow guy. Anyway, I didn't get it yet. Okay, so I'll go anywhere can turn into I dominate a micro market. And guess what? It's not harder. It's easier. And guess what? You'll make more money. Now, there's a big difference in gross commission income and net commission income. Anybody ever felt that difference at the end of the quarter tax time? It's a weird date we did our conference on this year. Anybody have to file? Nope, not talking about that. Okay, so what about when you're a generalist, all the no's you get to say? Not many. You have to say yes to everything. You have to do what the broker suggests, the team leader suggests. You end up with the pain of the messiness of, I'm not even in charge of my own business. I work for my worst clients or other people dictate all the terms, right? And then sometimes if you're careful and you really evaluate because of the way you're doing business, it's actually hurting your clients as well. Any of you ever had to take on more clients than you really could deliver world-class value to because you just needed the money that bad? Or you needed the pipeline that bad? Or you couldn't trust that the pipeline would fill back up next month if you didn't take that buyer that's a little below the price point you like, or that's a little farther out, or that's a property type you're not as world-class in? Anybody stop to think that, ethically speaking, that's a challenging question? Because did it potentially hurt the client that you took them on? What about the other agents you're doing business with? When you're overwhelmed, you're slower to respond, you're not as on top of those deadlines. What about the community that would benefit if you were thriving and you had extra time, extra energy, extra expertise and generosity, extra funds, extra dollars, that are not getting that because of the generalist approach? And this last one, I want to be very careful because there's some important and significant words on that bottom line right there. But how many of us have met or seen on stage the agent or the team leader or the broker with all the trophies? Number one agent, most units sold, most sales volume. And you know that when they get off stage, their life is a wreck. They're dead broke. They've lost their home. And I'm not mocking them in any way. I'm saying this can lead to real pain. But our industry at times presents some of that pain as the goal. Go get the trophies. Grab your crossbow. Get 100 agents. Give them all a crossbow. Storm the field. This generalist burnout mentality that can hurt you, your finances, your marriage, your children, your mental health, your rest, your future. Let's just stop doing that.
Super quick time out here. Just want to let you know, if you're interested in this topic and you'd like some guidance in putting together a plan for you, your area of specialization, the thing you can be world-class at and begin to build your business faster, more income, more impact with less effort, click a link somewhere near this audio or video and we'll set up a quick strategy call completely free for you and begin to put that plan together for you. Back to the show.
And let's become special agents. So what does it actually mean to be specialized, right? We didn't name this the niche agent or the niche agent, number one, because we can't agree on how to pronounce that word. I don't want to hear what you choose. I will just say this. If you want to pronounce it in French, you have to pronounce all French words in a French accent. Okay? So you can't get enchiladas tonight. You have to get enchiladas. Good? Are we good? Thank you. Okay. Check in with Eddie from El Paso. Okay. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep just saying specialization. Specialized agent. Plus we get to do the cool spy stuff. Okay? What does that actually mean? So I think there's at least three ways you can do this, but generally three ways you can do this, right? You can geographically specialize. Raise your hand if you might have some sort of geographic area specialization. You work your neighborhood, you work your city, you work a zip code, you work a college town, whatever. Then there's demographic. You have to be careful with fair housing and always be compliant, but you might work a group of people. First-time home buyers, investors, downsizers, empty nesters, landlords, whatever. And then there's psychographic, and a lot of people struggle with this one. This is behavioral, a certain behavior type, right? Flippers, luxury property owners, land investors, whatever it is, right? So there's a lot of different ways we can do this, but this is technical. I want to get into some on-the-ground stuff. And I would just say, if you're going to specialize, you're always specializing in a who, in a person or people. So raise your hand again if you would say you have a geographic area that you specialize in or you want to further specialize in. What's the area? Cleburne is a city around here if you're not local. Okay? I'm not going to be rude, but I don't think you specialize in Cleburne. Okay? I don't think you specialize in your neighborhood in Cleburne. Now, who can help me out? What am I saying here? I think you specialize in the people who live in and want to live in that neighborhood and beyond in Cleburne. Does that make sense? Now, can you have a conversation with Cleburne? Can you earn trust from your neighborhood? Only if we refer to it as the people in the neighborhood, right? So that's what I mean by it's always a who. You're going to specialize in people. Now, it might be investors. That's still a group of people. It might be two-story homeowners, but it's not two-story homes. And I know that sounds like a silly clarification, but it's going to get us where we need to get if we want to do this at a world-class level. It is not a prison. It is not a limitation to specialize in a group of people. It is just the very beginning of something really, really incredible. It is a launch pad of being what I call micro-famous, of being the mayor, metaphorically, of that community, of being authority, celebrity, and an expert to those people. Raise your hand if you think it's achievable to become that well-known and trusted to the people in one neighborhood in one town. Okay. That's very much achievable in 2025. Through all the different media outlets, different opportunities we have to get a message out to connect with people, that's totally achievable, especially if you committed to it over the long haul. Okay? So it's always a who. It is not a prison. It's a launch pad. You can say no with confidence. If you specialize in one neighborhood in Cleburne and you have more of that than you could handle, and I said, would you like a buyer lead in Greenville, would you take that? No. Would you feel bad saying no? Would you feel rude? No. Hey, that's not where I specialize. Let me get you connected with somebody that's world class out there. I specialize in this one neighborhood in Cleburne. You say no with confidence, with integrity, and it is for their best good, right? For their best outcome. And you can say yes to the right ones with more confidence and authority too. Will you be the only real estate agent in your neighborhood in Cleburne? Is there a neighborhood on the planet where there's only one real estate agent? They give out real estate licenses like candy in a Cracker Jack box. Now, if NAR is going to email Grady@ToddTremonti.com. Okay? It does. There's a small barrier to entry and a massive barrier to success. Am I right? Which one's harder, getting a real estate license or sustaining a full-time income and impact in real estate? That's a laughable question, right? But people keep coming, and then they go, and then another one comes right behind them. So the opportunity to stand out as a specialist is incredible, and it's lucrative. And no matter what industry you're in, no matter what role you're in the business, I believe this is your best offense and best defense in the future of residential real estate. Okay, so the Clarity Grid is a name that I just made up. So there's nothing official here, but I believe this will work for you. Who do you already love working with? Write that down. We're going to get into a little workshop here. Who do you already love working with? Is it first-time homebuyers? Is it investors? Is it wealthy all-cash doctors? Is it people in your neighborhood? Is it people on lakefront? Is it condo owners? Is it midlife professionals? Is it retiring downsizers? Whatever. This is not discriminatory. This is who do you love serving and adding value for. Okay? What kind of properties really fire you up? Which properties are you like, oh gosh, I've got to go show more of those? That's probably not it. Which ones are you like, man, I love these. They're always interesting. They're just, I like physically being inside of that kind of property. I show them better. I'm more excited. They're more visually appealing. I enjoy marketing and photoing them and creating marketing materials more. I get fired up. I do a better job. Where do you feel most knowledgeable and confident? You're like, I just sort of accidentally know a lot about that property type because it's interesting, because it's attractive. And then, where's the money flowing in your market? Anybody ever had that change in your market? So I would be very careful choosing a portion of your market that is killing it right now, but a year and a half ago was dead and might be dead again in a year and a half. And there are those things in all markets. That doesn't mean you don't do it, but that would not be my only singular primary focus area. The most volatile specialization in the market would not be my forever. It might be the one you love, but there's got to be some wisdom here. Okay, next thing. Let's do a little bit of money math here. Don't worry, you don't actually have to calculate anything here. People pay more for the heart surgeon than they do the general practitioner. True or false? Anybody ever seen an exception to that? I can't think of one. There probably is one. I'd like to meet that guy because that's probably really, really good business marketing. But no, the specialist that handles the acute, unique thing almost always is paid better, but also more respected. We talked about like the super spy versus the street cop. They're both very well respected. But it's different. Premium real estate service versus a standard real estate service. Who wants standard? No one? I learned this the hard way. Some of you have heard my story, so I won't spend a ton of time on it. But while I was driving the ridiculous clown car and running the flat fee franchise and busting my tail and selling a lot of houses, I came home one night. My wife hands me my almost one-year-old daughter. She's crying like crazy. I get it, babies cry. But this one, my daughter, was not crying just because babies cry. She was crying because she really was not that familiar with me, her dad. So without milking that and making myself cry or whatever, the reality was I was not living the life I wanted to live. I was a generalist of the highest order, cheap as I could be, trying to over-deliver client value, which was always a passion, but doing it in a pretty foolish, uneducated way. Charge as little as I could, work as hard as I could. By the way, not good for me, not good for the client, and certainly not good for my family. And my wife gave me a look. She's not a nagging type person. She's incredible. Second best decision I ever made in my life. But she just kind of gives me that look of like, this isn't it. This isn't going to last, right? I'm very defensively. I'm frustrated. Am I not working hard enough? Blah, blah, blah. And her response is some version of, it's not about how hard you work. It's about, is this working? And if your daughter doesn't know you, it's not working. And if you're busting your tail and not providing financially, it's not working. And it wasn't working. And that was a turning point for me. It was not overnight. Nobody jumped up in front of me and made the obvious point 27 times to drill it home for me. But we began this journey of saying, we are not working with just anybody. We are going to attract our ideal clients and stop chasing any deal. And it began a fairly rapid ramp up of more profitable clients, more enjoyable clients, a better reputation, more reviews, more referrals, more repeat, more revenue, more fun, attracting more talent to the team because they wanted more of what we were doing. And that's what this journey looks like. So that's why I run a premium real estate business, although for the first few years that felt weird to me. That word premium. People called us a boutique a lot, and I didn't know what to do with that. Trust me, dealing with that awkwardness is worth it. It's worth it. Premium fees are not just possible, they are expected when you're a specialist. Does anybody think your general practitioner doctor charges the same thing for a visit as the world-class cardiothoracic surgeon at the Mayo Clinic? Anyone? Do you think anyone's ever asked a surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic before they came in, well, how much is this going to cost? When MD Anderson said, we can make an appointment for you in 8 months, and you were grateful to wait 8 months, you think anybody ever said, real quick, what's the bill rate on that? That's what specialization does. It's not just that you can be worth more and charge that. It's that it's expected. It's easier than when you're a crossbow, when you're a generalist. Okay, who would like to have fewer clients but way better clients and more profit? Now, some of you are at a stage of your business where you're like, I still want way more clients, but I would like them to be better and have more profitability. So depending on where you are in your business, there's the, at this rate, I need 82 a year. But if I said you could make more money with less sales and hit your goals, who would want that? Okay, not everybody, and that's okay. But who would want more profit either way? Okay, I have subtly mapped out the parts of the room that are not going to raise their hand no matter what. Who likes profit? Okay, everyone but this gaggle back here. Wrong event, wrong party, guys. Okay, who likes showing people houses that do not buy houses? Nope. Way less, if not no more, wasted showings. Who likes to take a listing that you have very little confidence is ever going to sell and then ride the carnival ride of price drops over a long period of time full of disappointment, condescension, and generally them not liking you all the time? I thought maybe someone back there would do it. Justin was like flirting with, am I the guy? Do I raise my hand? Okay. Who would prefer clients that already trust you day one? When you walk into a specialist office, how much more regard do you have for their expertise and wisdom than the generalist? A lot, right? Even if they don't deserve it, by the way. How many of you, before you go visit a doctor, like look up where they went to college and try to figure out what their grade point average was? Okay, you do? Where do you get this information? Online. Always trust the internet, she said. Half of it is just the positioning of it. Now, I'm not telling you to go position yourself when you're not worthy of it. I'm saying be worthy of it and position yourself. Okay, faster closes, by the way, doesn't hurt either. When people trust you, trust the process, follow leadership, follow guidance. Okay, who would like to scale your business, your income, and your impact faster? Right? That works better and easier when you're a specialist as also. Systems and staff plug into a clear plan. We do one thing, we do it really well. We do a few things, we do them really, really well. The path becomes clearer. The systems become more locked in. Who thinks you'll get more referrals when you're really well known for one or two things versus when you're not really known for anything? Yeah, way more of that. You become the go-to. Less decision fatigue. Does anybody know what decision fatigue is? Have you all noticed that like these high-powered bazillionaire CEOs have all gone to where they just wear the same clothes every day? I think we should basically all do that. My wife disagrees. But like, I have to make so many decisions every day as a business owner, as a salesperson, as a professional, and a dad, and a husband, and a friend, and a ministry guy, all these things. let's just minimize the number of crazy decisions. And if we specialize and we're doing more of the same things and we're doing them better and better and better, we're just making fewer inconsequential decisions anyway. So specialization leads to better decisions. Make sense? It's not one we think about or talk about a lot. Okay, we're wrapping up here, but I want to make some very big points, and then I want to reiterate a couple of simple things. Who here does want more money, but also is really committed to more impact as well? On your children, in your community, in your business, maybe a nonprofit or a charity or a church that you care deeply about. Okay, who thinks if you're world-class at something, that will allow you to build deeper relationships? It's an almost guaranteed situation. Who thinks you can be a resource even when you're not actively transacting with people, as opposed to being the typical kind of annoying real estate agent? Who calls their real estate agent when they don't need to buy and sell a house? Unless they are a family or a close friend, the answer is nobody. Just checking in on you. How's business? Said no. Hey, do you want to give me a market report? I was itching for a market report that I didn't need. No one. But when you're world class at something, has anyone ever gotten a call that's like, I have a friend that's thinking about starting a business and I would love for them just to talk with you? I get those all the time. By the way, I give them the e-myth and I say, read the book and when you finish, call me and we'll do lunch. And guess how many call me? If you're not willing to read a book and do it, sorry, soapbox. Okay, you can be a resource and not an annoyance. How many of you have a cause you care for and they're like, man, you're such a leader in what you do. We would love to just have you associated with us. We'd love to have you be a part of inviting people. We'd love to have you come be at our event. That's what it means to be a resource and not an annoyance in real estate. Who thinks the reputation of real estate agents across our country is as phenomenal resources? Anybody want to go with obnoxious annoyance? I'm not going to say what I was thinking. I want to so bad, though. This is self-control right here. All right, who wants to have a lasting brand that might last longer than you and have real impact? Maybe be sellable. Maybe be leverageable to other people, your family, your friends, your staff, your agents. Okay, that's what specialization can do. Who wants to earn more so you can give more? I'll tell you right now, those of us that have had the opportunity to give generously, it's the best part. You know, I certainly enjoy providing for my family, saving, being prepared, but being able to give generously of your financial resources is a blast. By the way, you can do that today in chunks of like $20 and $25 with raffle tickets. But imagine building a business where you're like, I don't really need any more money. My family's fine. But the more I make, the more I give, the more I give, the more fun this is, the more I don't want to retire, and I want to enjoy it and just have fun with it and deploy it to make a difference in the world for animals or wildlife or children or schools or libraries or healthcare or research. Imagine if that's what you could get fired up about and one of your key focuses all the time. Does anybody think it's okay to just enjoy the benefits of your business? Wow. I think that was six hands. And I don't know if that's cultural or that's our industry that's just kicked us in the teeth so many times. That's not even on the goal sheet anymore, is to enjoy it. Are you guys enjoying your business right now? What have you gotten to do lately because you've built a business over the last few years? They're traveling in like a Survive the Apocalypse wagon. And if you haven't seen it, they'll do tours later, $20 a person behind the hotel. Just kidding. You can't see it. They've built a business over the years. They named it after their children, and now their children are in the business, and you'll get to hear from Nora later. They're all incredible. All, the whole family, the Schneiders. But that's a great example of you used to get to do that. It was all the time, signs and lockboxes and agents and agent turnover and onboarding, branding and leads. And there's still that. You don't always escape the work. But you build it so you can enjoy it. Write it down. That's part of your plan. If that's not part of your plan, you're doing it wrong. It's not worth it. It is not worth the beating of building a business and leading a business and sustaining a business if you don't get to be generous, if you don't get to enjoy it, if you don't get to have some fun, if it doesn't help you live the life you want to live. Yes? I'm going to Tony Robbins you guys. Yes or yes? No's not an option. Imagine if you're like, I'm just going to keep doing it. I know it will never be fun. But how many of us have been operating that way? And then someone else on your team or in your brokerage is like, I just want to have fun. You're like, you're sitting about fun, kid. Oops. Like I wouldn't want to work with or for you or near you. But I've been that guy. I'm not ripping on anybody. Okay. Has anyone ever said no to like a really crappy client and you're like, oh, it felt so good? Yeah? Imagine building a specialized business where you are attracting ideal clients that want your specialization. They know they're going to pay a premium and they can't wait. And they want to tell their friends and write a review and come back and do it again. So much so that when anybody that's any less than that enters your world, you're like, no, 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 no. You're actually building systems to put up bigger fences for crazy people. So when someone calls in, where's Gibson? Is he in here? There you go. How often do we get an inbound call and you're like, mm-mm, absolutely not. They're nuts. Half the time, he says, yeah. So imagine having a business where half the time you're like, no, thank you. And if you want to pull a cool prank, you just know which agent in town you refer that guy to. Not saying we do that. I'm saying you could. But it's nice to be able to go, we don't need that. That was inbound. We have enough inbound. We're attracting enough ideal people because of our specialization, our value, the fun and the joy and the generosity around here that it feels good to be like, oh, no, no, we're not a good fit for you. I can tell. That's totally fine. You have 47,000 other options in Dallas-Fort Worth real estate. Have a blessed life. But you may not pierce the veil of our environment here. No, thank you. Okay? When's the last time you did work day in and day out that fired you up, that you woke up early because you couldn't wait to get there to do that work because it was impactful and meaningful and generous and fun? If it wasn't yesterday or Friday, don't leave without that plan. Don't leave without an outline of that plan and a conviction to go do it. Don't be the person that's like, man, I got real fired up at that conference. Then I got home, my schedule kind of kicked me in the mouth, and I just kind of didn't do it. And so it still generally is a grind. Not really a specialist. Not all that profitable. Feeling a lot of the burnout. Who else's decision is it if it's not yours? And work that matters. Impactful, lasting work that changes people's lives other than you. It's a good time. It's worth it. All right, so let's get into the brass tacks. We've talked through all this, but let's just go real quick. Like literally, how do you choose? Who would like some help choosing your specialization? Anyone? Raise your hand really high if you're like, I could get better at this. Okay, just making sure. Okay, don't worry about losing existing business. If you're world-class at something, people will want to use you for the other stuff too. Okay, don't pick a lane later. Pick now and then polish it and improve it for the rest of your career. Never stop pursuing mastery. By the way, who thinks you're going to get there without choosing? Choosing comes first. The success and the fun and the impact comes next.
Quick pause. During the live event, we took a few minutes here to give people time to write some things down, but you can just keep on rocking and rolling, or you could pause here and do the same that they did, but we'll jump right back into the episode.
Okay, here we go. What do you love doing so much that you would almost do it for free in the realm of your business? No holds barred, write your answers down. Is it working with this type of person, working with this type of property, working in this area, doing this part of a transaction, dealing with this part of the process, the back end, the front end, the clients, the data? What is it? What part is fun for you? What part do you really, really love? This is a really helpful qualifying question. At least it has been for me and a lot of coaching clients. What do you want to think about all the time? What do you default to thinking about? Is it scheduling showings that you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about? Like, man, I'd love to schedule some more showings. God, if I could just value like one more property. Is it? By the way, the stuff you think is crazy, someone else loves. That's how you build a great team. There's the secret right there. Cat's out of the bag. Why were cats in bags? We should look that up before we say stuff from stages, Sean. I don't know. It's probably bad. Probably shouldn't have been in the bag. All right. What do you want to think about all the time? I want to think of, what do y'all think I want to think about all the time? This is dangerous to ask. I don't know why I'm doing this. Homes on land. I love that. What else? Yeah, impact all the time. If y'all get the third one, I'll buy you lunch. Ha ha, good guess, but that's not it. Marketing is probably from a business perspective. How do we compel people to take action that is great for them? What's the message? What's the media? What's the creative? How do we get that point across so that they want to do what's best for them and that works for us and make that fit and change people's lives? I think about it all the time. Sometimes when I should be thinking about other stuff. By the way, this is a very important question when you're choosing what to specialize in. Are you going to specialize in you? Are you your ideal client? Quite often the answer is no. But we write ourselves into our copy all the time. You write the email to someone assuming they think and feel and want and need and like and hate the things you do. And that you're not your ideal client. You might want to sell to the downsizing millionaire, and you are not a downsizing millionaire. You can still specialize in that, but is that something you want to think about and you constantly want to be learning about just in the natural flow? You want to be watching videos, reading books. When something comes up in the news about that, you're just drawn. You want to go take in that information. Becoming world class. You want to know more about that than anyone else on the planet. It's a very important question. Is it you? It does not have to be you, but you have to understand that if it's not you, you need to study them. Does that make sense? Okay. How do you do this? You want to go very, very deep, not very, very wide, right? So let's just say it's downsizing baby boomers that are financially secure. I want to study those people. I want to go very, very deep. I want to know generationally what are their motivations, the different subsections within those generations, the ones in my area, what are they likely to be like? Are they here because of a specific employer 30 years ago? I want to know their history. I want to know their likes and dislikes, their fears, their what it motivates them. Most people are motivated towards pleasure or from pain, more often than not from pain. What are their pains? What's the pleasure they pursue? What are their generational uniqueness? What kind of property do they like? What are their kids going through right now? What are their grandkids going through right now? I need to know. I want to go deep. I want to understand and be to them a market of one. There is no alternative to me for them. They will not find anybody else that is focused and dedicated and specialized in them more than me. Therefore, I get the call. Make sense? Okay, I would tell you to risk being too focused on your specialization. There's always other stuff that needs to be done, and you're probably going to serve some people that are not bullseye in your area of specialization. But I would encourage you to risk over-focusing on your specialization. Whether you're a website and CRM company, a mortgage lender, a real estate agent, a team leader, a broker, buyer specialist, seller specialist, inside sales, front-end sales, lead gen, lead conversion, whatever you do, I would encourage you to risk over-focusing on your ideal target client. Be loud, but only to them. You don't need to be globally famous but I would encourage you to be unavoidable to your special audience, your target audience. In whatever way fits your brand, you don't want to be on every billboard and, you know, urinal tile on the planet. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, real quick, one more super quick timeout. If this is catching on, if you're getting fired up a little bit and you're seeing the glory of being known for something, being recognized for that thing, being micro famous to just that audience of people that can't get you out of their head when they want to buy or sell or transact the thing that you specialize in, hey, click a link near this audio or video and request a quick strategy call with me, totally free. We'll talk about putting this into your business right now. Back to the show.
But you want to be where your target audience is. You want to be micro famous to them. You want them to know you, see you, understand your brand, understand your personality, trust you, feel like your friend, feel like they're part of the family. But somebody who's doing something that has nothing to do with what you sell, I don't care if they know who I am. I don't need to be globally famous. I prefer not to be. So be loud. Be everywhere for your target. Be micro famous. You want them to want to be associated with you, and you want to be associated with the best people and things in that target audience. Does that make sense? It's the cool factor. We say build your ACE, your authority, celebrity, and expertise. Authority and expertise are pretty easy to understand. By celebrity, we mean this, the positive association. If someone in South Texas hears a radio ad about the Ryan and Brian team, the Reeds want that person to be like, I know them. They're actually really great. That's what we mean by celebrity. People want to know you and want others to know they know you. They want that. No, they're awesome. They're such an amazing family. They're always resourcing people with leaders, you know, that kind of thing. You're a celebrity when that's true. Not because you're like on TV every night. That's what we want. We want those associations. Okay? We want to be seen in the right places by the right people. Not just always everywhere. If you're specializing in one neighborhood, you want to be seen in the neighborhood by those neighborhood people all the time. If you're going to go out to eat, ideally go out to eat where people from the neighborhood go. Be seen. If you look your worst and you're really ticked off and you need to go out to eat, go somewhere where people in the neighborhood do not go. Right? And you want to earn the right to be heard. Does everybody know what that means? I can talk at you and you can say, who the heck is this guy? Why do I care what he has to say? This guy's obnoxious. Or I can build trust with you. I can show you who I am, build trust with you, be generous with you. And when it's time for me to make an ask or say something important, I have now earned the right to say that thing to you. Instead of just coming out of the gate, punching people in the mouth with sales language all the time. Okay, now here's the quick math. There is some math to this. You need a target market that is an appropriate size. If your neighborhood had 16 houses in it, is that a big enough target market? Not if you want to sell more than a few houses a year. How much market share could you have? So some of these math items overlap. What's the competition for that specialized market? Are there five dominant brokerages with 82 agents already just killing it in that market? I'd think twice before I tried to specialize in that. Doesn't mean I'd be afraid. That's going to be a harder task. Turnover ratio. I'm not going to explain to you how to calculate turnover ratio, but you need to calculate it. If it's a neighborhood or if it's just four-bedroom houses in Iowa City. How many are there? How many sold last year? How many sold the year before? What percentages of four-bedroom homes in that market sell every year? What's the arc? What's the historical change? What's the seasonality? How much of a market is there? And then what market share could I realistically achieve year one, year two, year three, year 10? Is it enough to hit my goals? We do have to calculate some of these things. Average price point, average commission rate. The price elasticity, fee elasticity is a big deal. Is that a neighborhood where historically people are using very, very low-cost agents? Is that a neighborhood where people typically demand world-class expertise? Is that a neighborhood where people want a certain photo on a sign in the yard? or they want world-class expertise. You can do this research. You can do this math. And you have to do this math. None of this math is hard. But you got to do it. You get one of these things wrong, and you're just making it extra hard for yourself. You don't have to check every one of these boxes, but you need to know what challenges you're choosing to take on. Does that make sense? Is this helpful? Is this helping you get a little closer to your plan to be a longbow business and not a crossbow, work your tail off, wake up exhausted, and maybe or maybe not want to do it anymore? Okay? We got to master this. Now, where's DM? I was going to tell a totally different story about DM, and then she told me a story last night. But DM is far north Dallas, in my opinion, Anna, that area. And in the beginning, did really well as a new agent, right? Totally on your own. And then began to invest in this idea of specialization and found that as she answered a lot of these questions, she loved working with school teachers, kind of city employees, police, fire, that kind of stuff, first responder types. She loved working on new construction. She loved the folks that loved what she loves, gardens, chickens. Don't talk to her about chickens because it's going to take a little while. So if you don't have time, don't talk to DM about chickens. That's who she decided to focus on and to be a specialist for them so that they would tell other people about her. And in her, in my opinion, still short career, what, 5, 6 years? 6 years. She's been able to learn and relearn and improve some of these things multiple times already to the point where she's now choosing how many transactions she wants to do because she knows how to make the money she wants to make. She's already chosen more than once to do less transactions than the year before, but make more money. She, is it okay if I tell your story about your travel? So last night she said, remember when I met you at this event several years ago, one of my big goals was to go back to Vietnam, where she's originally from, and take her family for an extended trip, which is A, not cheap, and B, terribly difficult to do with kids and travel and school and time. And she just told me that in November they're going for 3 weeks, taking the kids out. Bobby, who you'll meet, is also amazing. Her husband is now retired from his other previous job, joined the business, and they are living the life they want to live because she decided to specialize and build a business to do this. I could give you examples all over this room. I could pick on a few people, too, that said they were going to do it and haven't totally done it. But that's your job as a coach sometimes, right? Okay. Who wants that? Who wants to build a business that supports the life you want to live, specialize, be micro-famous, stop grinding and feeling burnout so much, be more generous, have more fun, and be more proud of what you do? Put your hand up if that's what you want. Okay. Do you have the beginnings of a plan? Have you written that down? Okay. If you specialize, I cannot guarantee you these things. But I can tell you that they are almost certain. I can find ways to still mess it up. I've messed up pretty much everything we've ever done. But if you'll do that, you're looking at more income, more impact, and maybe better than both of those, more joy. Is it joyful to book that trip? Yeah. She's layering it on. She's like, Bobby also likes that we go on 9 cruises a year. How many of you have been in a real estate business before where you're like, I couldn't go on a single cruise? I can't get away. Who's going to do the stuff? How many did y'all go on last year? Was it really 9? Unbelievable. Now, DM's amazing. Not everybody can be DM. But pretty much, if you want it, you could do it. And we get to track with DM in our mastermind. She's incredible. But she would tell you if she can do it, you could do it, right? Okay, so here's what you do next. The next thing. What's the next thing on your plan right now? Is it that you still need to decide? You just need to choose what you're going to specialize in? Is it that you need a little bit more clarity? If so, I'm sure we'll do a bunch of that at laser coaching tonight. Is it that you just need the courage? You just need someone to say, you can do this. You don't need permission from me. But, everybody raise your right hand. I grant you permission to specialize and build a business for a better life. Do you accept? Now you have permission. You didn't need it, but maybe that feels better. Okay? Probably my final thought. I have a couple minutes left. Probably. Please, please, please do not leave here thinking, that was cool. That got me fired. I like the sound of that. And do nothing. Whose fault would that be? It would almost be like you're just choosing, I'm not going to use that. I don't want that. I don't want to be more generous. I don't want more income. I don't want more impact. I want useless showings. I want crazy clients. I want less profit. I want to hate my job. I want to consider doing something different every day. Or take the next step. Make the commitment and remember this event as what turned it around for you. Maybe your business is already great. It's not a total turnaround. It's just that leaping off point. Everything improved after that. Something really changed then. I don't need credit for that. It doesn't need to be about me. It's about you making that decision in this moment. Now, you could be a buyer's agent. You could be a seller's agent. We call it marketing specialist, team lead, broker, owner, solo agent, solo with help, but really a team that calls yourself solo with help. Not talking to anyone specifically, but I'm talking to DM. I'm just not looking at it right now. You could call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. But what's going to be different next week from last week? Hopefully not that you heard a talk and it clicked a little bit. Hopefully it's going to be that you are headed down the path to be a special agent, to be a world-class specialist, to be more valuable to your clients and your team and your family and your community, to have more fun, more joy, more impact in your business. Yes? Yes or yes? Okay. Listen. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Nothing crazy here. But I'm going to ask you to write down some form of a commitment to yourself right now. You can write whatever you want. I commit to specializing in left-handed carnival barkers and their home buying needs. Whatever you want to specialize in. By the way, that one probably doesn't meet the math. Not a real big market. I want you to write down a commitment. Are you going to be a crossbow business or a longbow business? Are you going to specialize or choose to generalize? More profitable, stick with what you got. More joyful, or just see what happens? Write down some form of a commitment to yourself right now, and then let's go make it happen for the next 2 days. Don't waste the opportunity. I'm not saying that anything I've said to you this morning is brilliant in any way, but there was a lot of hands going up. There was a lot of nodding. So I am certain that you saw the opportunity and you see where you can grow. So it's up to you. I would encourage you to commit now, lean in. If you're in a break in the hall, find somebody in a similar role. That's the power of those name tags. Oh, he's a team leader too. Oh, she's a solo agent as well. Let's talk about it. We're providing lunch today and tomorrow. There'll be sandwiches and salads. You can grab those, eat anywhere but this room. There's the restaurant and everything will be open. Find someone, say, hey, I want to go sit with you at lunch. Let's talk about that. Do you specialize yet? What are you thinking about? Help me think through this. What would it look like to do that? What would be the risk? Do you see any error in my thoughts here? What do you suggest? Come find me. Talk to me. Talk to our team. Talk to somebody else that's been where you want to go or that's headed where you want to head. All right? I think we got a break after this one. And then we'll be right back in here after a 30-minute break. By the way, y'all, don't be late for any session this time. We took our event from 3 days to 2 days, and we're trying to pack just about as much stuff in. So be early in the morning Come back for laser coaching. Enjoy your breaks. We did a few more breaks than we've done in the past because all of us, I think, enjoy the break. You know, go do a deal if you got to do a deal, but also get to know people. Some of the very best things that happen at conferences we know are not on stage. They're out there as you connect with people, meet a sponsor, make a difference in a kid's life in some far corner of the earth. Go look at the sponsorship booklets with Compassion 2 for a very small amount of money. You can make a huge difference in a kid's life and help them move from absolute desperation to hope. So I hope that you'll do that. That's all I've got. Was this helpful for you? Okay. Appreciate you. Thank you for your time and your attention.
All right. Hey, this one was a blast in the room, and I hope it was a blast for you too. Maybe it was a little bit humbling. Maybe it kind of caught you off guard a little bit. I know there's some fear around this topic of if I choose to specialize, then I'm going to lose some other things. And I hope that the keynote that you just heard was clear enough for you. But let me just reiterate one thing. You know, you hear these kind of cheesy rhyming sayings like the riches are in the niches, but it's true here. And I want to encourage you that after 20 years plus of doing this, maybe you'll lose an opportunity here and there. But without being able to guarantee this to you, I can tell you emphatically, you will gain so much more than you will ever lose. We specialize in homes on small acreage as well as desirable neighborhoods. And we get requests all the time for raw land, condos, townhomes, you know, not, things outside those two specialty areas. And it's going to happen to you too. So let me encourage you to specialize. Let me encourage you to simplify things yet grow, to work less crazy hours and intention and yet to make more money and have more impact. And if we can help you with that in any way, I'm happy to give you 15 or 20 minutes of my time. Just click a link somewhere near this video or audio. We'll jump on a call together and we'll get started building this into your business. And if it makes sense for us to do more together or help you in another way, we can talk about that too. Click that link, check out some of our other episodes. I'll see you on the next one.